You turn with me now to the 16th chapter of John. Last time we dealt with the first 15 verses, and now we deal with verses 16 through 24. Hear now the word of the living God. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, and again a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I mean by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that the human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. No one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." May God bless this reading of his word. Well, beloved congregation, when I was a little boy, yes, I was a little boy at one time, I was in my grandmother's kitchen and she was preparing a meal for us. And all I did was ask questions. "What are you doing this for? Why is that tool being used? What are you planning to have when you get all done?" And on and on and on. And this went on for 20 minutes or a half an hour. And finally, my good, patient grandmother said, "Peter, that's enough. No more questions." Have you had that experience? Young children like to ask questions. They learn that way. And we ought to be glad that they learn that way. But after a while, there's enough of that. Well, not only children ask those questions, but adults do. And we have in this passage the questions that the disciples were asking. Now, they weren't asking Jesus because they didn't want to be chewed out. He had formally chewed them out because they were asking a question, and he thought that they ought to have known that. "You've been with me so long," he says, "and you don't know that?" And so now you see they don't, near the end of his ministry, they're saying, they discuss it between them and then with a larger group, but they don't ask Jesus. Well, this morning we want to look at these questions that are being asked, and then we want to look at Jesus' response to these questions. The question revolved around what Jesus said in verse 16. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. Now Jesus had told them that he was going unto the Father, back in chapter 14. And that where he was going, they couldn't come. And of course, they've left everything. Their families, their occupations, they've left everything, their hometown, to follow Jesus. And now, all of a sudden, he says, I'm going away. And they think that they're left like orphans, with no place to go and with nobody to follow. And so they are very, very distraught by this. And so they want to know, what does he mean? A little while and you won't see me? And then again a little while and you will see me? They can't figure it out. Well, we understand, don't we? You ever had questions that you wanted answered and yet you were afraid to ask them because you didn't want people to think you were stupid? Have you ever had questions about what God is doing and well, you didn't know whether it was legitimate to ask those questions or not? Well, there are questions, aren't there, that we have. Where did dinosaurs come from if God created the world in 6 days? No mention in the Bible of dinosaurs, is there? And yet, if you go down to Utah, you can see all kinds of dinosaurs. Huh? Ever wondered that? Ever asked yourself that question? I know a lot of people who have. Another question that is often asked is, if God is all good and that his creation was good, why is there evil in the world? Oh, you can say it's because of Satan, right? He's in the world. But where did he come from? He had to be created too. God created the angels, didn't he? He's a fallen angel. Now, these are questions that you can ask. But are you going to get an answer? Nah, you're not. Because there is no answer. The only answers we have to ultimate things, it's found in the Bible. I mean, we have scientists who are asking, how did we get here? Where did we come from? And they are sending off rockets into the farthest reaches. We had a one that just left the solar system, didn't we? You heard that this week? Well, that's the way it is. They're looking and looking and looking, and they're not getting any answers. Because they weren't there, and there's nothing in the creation itself that tells you that it was created. Oh yeah, it tells you about God. Oh yes. It tells you that God created it. That's perfectly obvious. Not to a lot of people. Sadly, not to a lot of public school administrators who think that it had to evolve. There are scientists today who say it's impossible for it to have evolved. And I've been told that over in Europe, that the fact of creation is regaining, and they're poo-pooing Darwinism. It's only here in this country that we're hanging on to it. There has to be this interaction. There has to be a total creating at one time for the things to exist. They can't exist piecemeal. It just is not possible from the science that we have now, that we have gained in the last 10 years. So, yeah. How did it get here? Well, we know that. Bible teaches us that. This is God's revelation. He tells us what is true, but he has not seen fit to tell us where the dinosaurs came from, or to tell us about where evil came from. But you have other questions? Sure. How is God one God in three persons? You think about that and you say, I've never experienced that. Everybody I know is one being and one person. Where did we get this idea? Well, we didn't get the idea. We are told by God in His Word what is the fact. It's clearly taught. Likewise, how can Jesus be both God and man? How can He be infinite and everywhere present at the same time be spatially present in a certain place? I can't figure that out. And there are a lot of questions that we can't answer, that we can't figure out. Huh? And we have to be content with what God says in His Word. That's the only thing that we can have that explains it. All the explanations of men are folly. They do not tell us about this. We have to go to what God said because He was there and He created it all and He is supervising it all. Yeah. And if you don't, you have no answer. There are a lot of people wandering around with all questions, all kinds of questions that cannot be answered. Only God can answer them. Well, now here the disciples, of course, are asking a question that perplexes them. They're saying, a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. What's Jesus talking about? They know He's going on to the Father. They even mention that. I'm going to the Father. So they know that. But where's the Father? How does He get there? And what does it mean? Just a little while, He's going to be gone. And a little while, we're going to see Him again. What's that mean? Yes, you see, that's again a question that is very, very difficult to answer. If you are there. Oh yeah. Very difficult to answer. Because they haven't experienced it yet. And they're going to experience it. What's Jesus talking about? Well, the interesting part is He does not answer their question directly. But we know the answer. Because we live now and we can look back and understand what He said. A little while and they will see Him no more. Well, what's going to happen in a little while? He's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There the temple guards, along with Judas, are going to arrest Him, take Him to Caiaphas's house, be falsely tried, take Him to Pilate, and be condemned to death, and He will die. He's going away. And it's only going to be a little while. That we know, right? That we can figure out. What does it mean, though, in a little while and you will see me? Well, obviously, He can't be talking about His return when He goes to the Father and when He returns. Although those who are liberals say He made a mistake. He thought He was going to come back, but He didn't. Well, that's not a satisfactory answer, is it? Jesus knows what He's talking about. What's He talking about? Well, let's see. He was raised from the dead, and they could see Him, couldn't they? Yeah. And talk to Him. But He says that they won't be able to ask questions anymore from Him. And He's not going to answer questions anymore. But now they're going to ask the Father in His name. Huh. What's going on then? Well, very interesting. If you turn back to chapter 14, this question is answered. Chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete or helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I am not leaving you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while. Notice the phrase. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. What's he talking about? He's talking about the time when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. The questions had been asked up until his ascension. Even at his ascension, they were asking questions. When will you restore the kingdom? And Jesus said, that's not up to you or me, but my Father. And he went up to heaven. But now, you see, he has come down to live in us. Jesus lives in us by means of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. The seeing is not with the eyes of the physical human nature. That's in heaven. But the seeing is the knowing and the understanding and the realization that Jesus is with us always. Always. He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Wonderful. Do you realize how wonderful that is? You can be in the northern part of British Columbia and never be alone, because Jesus is with you. You can be in the midst of Tokyo, which is the largest city in the world, where people are milling here and there, and you feel lost. But you're not. You see, Jesus is with you. And you can be right here in Oak Harbor, and maybe around your relatives, and your relatives maybe don't like you anymore because you've made a commitment to Christ. But you're not alone. Never alone. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and through that Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in you. You will see him in that sense. And he will be with you forever. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. Well, that's what we know by studying other passages and seeing it in its context. But what does Jesus say to them? Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. Then verse 19, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will see me, and again a little while and you will not see me, and then a little while you will see me? Is that what you're asking yourselves? You see, he knew. Already at this time, he knew what they were asking. He understood their predicament. Okay, what then is his answer? Verse 20. Truly, truly. In the Greek, it's amen, amen. And the word amen in Hebrew means truly, truly. He says this when he wants something to impress them. So he says, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Yes, that's what's going to happen, isn't it? They're going to watch the events transpire. They're going to see Jesus carrying his cross and then being nailed to that cross, and then they're going to see that he dies. Well, how can it be? He who promised all these marvelous things, he who told us about the kingdom in such a way, how is he going to die? Why is that necessary? Well, of course, we know, don't we? Necessary for him to bear our sins, the punishment of our sins, and die in our place. That's why he had to die. Oh, yes, but the world, what'd they do? They scoffed. They mocked him. Well, if you're really the Son of God, said the leaders of the Jews, come down off that cross. Well, Jesus couldn't come down off the cross because that was not the Father's will. That's the world. They laughed. They thought he was gone. That heretic isn't around anymore. We won't have to deal with him. That was what the world thought. And they had a lot of joy, but not the disciples. The disciples didn't understand. You see, when we're overtaken by the questions, then it is that we don't really understand. And that's frustrating not to understand. But we do understand because Jesus has revealed it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand what Jesus has revealed, so that we don't have to have that sorrow anymore, do we? Well, what's he go on to say? Your sorrow will turn into joy. And then he gives the illustration of a woman who's bearing a child. She's come to her hour, the hour when she is about to deliver. And she has pain. Now, I know they can give you all kinds of things to relieve your pain these days so that it isn't quite as bad, but not in those days. That pain was excruciating. But now the child is born, and with the child is born, and you're putting him in your arms, you rejoice, don't you? And you don't worry about all the pain that you had to go through. You rejoice because you have this child, this human life that has been born to you. Well, it's the same way with our Christian faith, the same way with the life of Jesus. They had sorrow, terrible sorrow, because he was dying. He was going away. He was going to the Father, and they wouldn't see him anymore. But Jesus says, oh, yes, you will. He will be in you by the Holy Spirit, and you will see him again. So also, you have sorrow now, referring to his illustration of the woman. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Isn't that wonderful? You will rejoice because he's in you, and you will see him with those spiritual eyes, and he's not going to leave. He's going to be in you until he takes you to be with him in glory. He never will leave again. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. You won't be able to talk to me. You won't be able to ask me all kinds of questions. I won't be here physically. But what is true? Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You see, the Father will give you not only answers to questions in the Word of God, but also will give you what you need, will take care of you, will prosper you, will carry forth the joys of the kingdom within you. Till now you've asked nothing in my name. You see, that's the clincher, in my name. It's not just a matter of saying in Jesus' name at the end of your prayers. What it is that your prayers and what you're asking are founded upon the finished work of Christ. His death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension on high, his rule there. All of that is in his name. In other words, in his power. When you ask something of God, he's going to take care of you because Jesus lives within you, because Jesus has completed his work upon earth, and because Jesus' name, his power, the Father recognizes, and the Father will answer your questions. The Father will provide for your needs. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Now, there's something very interesting there. Normally, we say we're still in the world, right? We're still upon this earth, which has all kinds of sorrows and troubles. And we would say we have to deal with the sorrows and the troubles, but then in Jesus, we're going to someday, when we enter into glory, enter into his joy. Right? That's more or less how we think. We divide up the work of Jesus from what he did upon earth to how he's building his church now, and his entrance into glory. But he says, when the Holy Spirit at Pentecost came down, you have joy that you never had before. And the more you deal with the Father in Jesus' name, the more joy you're going to get. Oftentimes, I'm afraid I see it again and again in the Church of Jesus Christ. We concentrate on the problems. We talk about the difficulties. We lament all of the things that are going on in the world and in our nation. But you see, you are to concentrate on Jesus Christ. You are to concentrate on growing in his joy until that joy is complete. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus given. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your voice, rejoice. Again I say, rejoice. Remember Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that's something that we often do not do. We complain. We feel that we're overwhelmed by our problems. Keep your eyes on Jesus. See him. And he will be here. He will see you. And you will be in him. And you will grow more and more and more in your joy. That's now, not just when you get to glory. Amen. Lord, help us to understand your word. Answer our questions, Father. Yes, show us exactly what Jesus is saying, so that we may learn more and more to rest in Jesus, to relax in Jesus, and to rejoice in Jesus. Lord, work in our hearts and our lives, for we ask it in His name. Amen.